About a year or so into us meeting, I reached out to a local pastor and I said, "Hey, John, I said, do you know any great guest speakers, somebody that really flows in the Holy Ghost, somebody who really has a sensitive ear to the Holy Spirit and knows how to just, you know, really touch people?" He said, "Yeah, sure. I got a guy, Philip Baker. You can have him out." And I said, "Okay." So we invited Philip out. He came out and he blessed us big. And we've had him back once or twice a year ever since. He's been a longtime friend of this church. And Philip travels all over the world. He can tell you more about what he's doing lately. And he's a world traveler, goes constantly. He's gone probably, you can tell him however many days during the year. But he's just a great, great man of God. He and his family serve the Lord, and they've been faithful in this area. So we're just glad to have him in. Come on, bring the word, Philip, and bless this real big. Would you give him a big round of applause as he comes to minister?
Thank you, Pastor. Praise God, man. Amen. Well, good morning. You're looking at a happy evangelist right here. I love to go. You know, two-thirds of God is go, but I do like sleeping in my bed on a weekend, which is rare. And so it was nice being at home this weekend and just 20 minutes, and I may get home before some of you today. And next weekend we're in Kentucky, and the weekend after that we're in Missouri, and then off to down in the valley, and just go, 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 go. We love it. Happiest evangelist you know, pound for pound. But I do love being at home every once in a while on a weekend. My wife sends her love. She's in Tulsa helping my baby girl move. She just graduated Victory Bible School there in Tulsa. And so she's kind of beginning a new season in her life. And how many know mamas want to be there to help get that apartment cute. And daughter appreciates her helping get the apartment cute, especially because she's got the credit card. Right?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm thrilled to be preaching here today. One of the reasons is because I know this is the last time I get to preach in this building. Don't get me wrong. I love this building. But I'm ready to never preach in this building again. Because one of the highlights of 2024 is going to be ministering in that brand new facility. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand clap. I'm excited. And I'm so glad I got to see, because, you know, Pastor and I, we get together during the year. We have lunch, and then we go over there and look at the building and walk through it. And I'm so glad I got to see the before. So I can appreciate the after. So it is coming. It's coming. And I can't wait to see what you guys do with it. And so, but love this church. Love your pastors. You know, Pastor talked about what we do. And, you know, for the last 20 years, we've been in, you know, right around 50 churches a year and just nonstop. And you know, therefore, you know a lot of pastors. And, you know, all pastors are passionate about Jesus. Praise God. But then it kind of launches into different areas. Pastors are passionate about different things, you know, and that's what makes the church, you know, different. Amen. But out of all the pastors I know, man, there's only a handful of them that would stop a service and just say, "Man, let's just pray in the Holy Ghost a little while." There's only a handful of pastors I know that are as passionate about the ministry, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, amen, like your pastors. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand clap, amen, for that. Man, I appreciate that. Because everything good about my life is because of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's been my best friend since I was 13 years old. And I don't know if you know it or not, but the Holy Spirit in me, we know everything. I think y'all know who's carrying most of that weight. But I just appreciate this church. Appreciate your pastors. And we're going to have a good day today. You know, I feel like, I know this is kind of going to sound weird, but I feel like God's going to take a four-day revival and shove it into this service this morning. Will it be all right with y'all?
Yes.
All things are possible if we'll just
believe.
And so a couple of things before we get into the Word. Number one, just be praying. Pastor's going off to Turkey, but in October, we'll be next door to Turkey. We'll be back in Bulgaria. We were just there in the spring. We'll be back in October. We're going to a different part of the country. We're going to grab another group of pastors, about 30 pastors. A lot of these guys are gypsy pastors, and we're going to have another Thrive Pastors Conference. We're going to be bringing them into a beautiful hotel in Bansko, Bulgaria, up in the mountains. Beautiful hotel. All the food will be included. Like I said, some of these are gypsy pastors who would never never think about going to a hotel like that. They would never dream of going and paying for food like that. And I've got an incredible ministry team going with me, and we're going to bring them into this hotel. All the food will be included, and all they've got to do is get there because we're paying for everything. Amen? And so this is something we do. We've done it before. Every time we go, I take a different ministry team with me. We go to a different part of the country. We grab another 30 pastors. God's given us such favor in Bulgaria, and we're getting ready. I'm going to be meeting with a man, Josh Zarad, and we're going to be looking and doing this in Austria. And then looks like next year, next fall, we're going to be going doing this in Romania. And so, you know, I love pastors. I love pastors. And I love blessing pastors. And I don't, conferences are great. Crusades are great. I've done them. But to grab 30 pastors and spend 3 days with them and to be able to eat with them. Amen. And just relationship and just bless their socks off and pray over them and preach to them and prophesy over them is just something really special. So anyway, that is coming up. Also, we brought our table over there. Miss Dolly, I'll help you. Make sure and sign up for the Daily Move. You can just use your phone, that little QR code, and a little something comes every day. It takes about 10 seconds to read. That thing goes out all over the world. It's free. We just got our brand new book out, and it just came out a few weeks ago. It's called The Path. And, you know, last weekend we were in Virginia doing the Path Marriage Seminar. A great marriage, it's not a destination. You never arrive. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. Amen? We can just stay on the path. And Laura and I, we wrote this book together. And Laura wrote a beautiful chapter on honor. We wrote a chapter just for singles. I mean, you know, it's one thing to get this stuff in you when you're married. It's another thing to get it in you before you get married. And what really made me happy is my kids wrote the recommendation for it. So Keegan, Madison, and McKinley wrote the recommendation. We were worried. We didn't know what they were going to say. But it turned out good. And there's 265 steps. It's easy to read. And Jacob, Rachel, Leah, just that story. And so it's over there. It's just $18. And then last thing is these bags are over there. And these bags are really special to Laura and I because of what they represent. These bags, they are they're $100 seed. They're $100 investment into everything we do, the nations and the books and the churches and the Path TV and all the stuff we do. And it's just a way to help us with everything. But also it's an investment into the Word. And there's this flash drive in there. And that thing has our entire media library on it. Every series we've ever done on faith and love and marriage and leadership and healing and leadership and favor and kingdom. And it's just loaded. And you just put it into your USB port, your computer. Most people now put them into their car. Just turn your car into a supernatural Bible school. And so those are in there. And then we wanted to be a blessing to you. So all three of our books are in there. And so The Move, The Build, and then our newest one, The Path. And so, Miss Dolly, I'll help you. Credit card, debit card, cash, check, and it'd be a blessing to you. And by the way, one other thing is, if you have a heart for missions, if you have a heart for pastors, to help one of those gypsy pastors, if you would like to sponsor one of those pastors and his wives in Bulgaria. Now, as far as Laura and I, we're all taken care of. All of our expenses are already done. We don't need nothing. We have incredible partners. But if you'd like to sponsor one of those pastors, and I thought y'all might like to know this anyway, for 3 days, 2 nights, all the food included, you could never do this in America. We're able to do all that for just $250 a couple. Oh, wow. So if you want to do that, tell Dolly, say, this is for a Bulgaria pastor, and every penny of that will go towards what? Amen? Yep. Stand to your feet. I want to pray, and then we're going to get into the Word. Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus, and Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You for Your Word. Heaven and earth will pass away. Your Word will never pass away. Father, thank You for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Holy Spirit, teach us, guide us, instruct us, challenge us, correct us. Get up all in our business today. Adjust our rudder. Holy Spirit, have Your way. And Father, everything today in the mighty, holy, wonderful, incredible, amazing, holy name of Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. You know, I woke up this morning and went to bed last night with this on my heart. Now, all throughout the night, woke up this morning and I kept hearing myself say, so many miracles. So many miracles. And it wasn't like something I was believing God for. It was like something I was hearing myself say as I walked through the door here in a little bit. Walk through the door later and say, man, there's so many miracles. Get in my car. So many miracles. Be driving down 517 back to Dickinson. Just saying, oh my gosh, so many miracles. Walk in the house, maybe before some of you. So many miracles. It's like it's past tense. It's already happened. We just got to catch up to it. Is that all right with y'all? You know, one of my favorite scriptures is Luke 11:20. It says, if I by the finger of God cast out Satan, no doubt the kingdom is coming to you. And what one of the things I love about that scripture is it didn't say the arm of God. It didn't say the hand of God. What did it say? Finger of God. He said, if I by the finger of God, and I just choose to believe it was that one. Come on, pull yours out. Let me come on. I'm showing you mine. You show me yours. Just keep it out a little bit. Come on, if I by the finger of God. In other words, it don't take much to deal with the devil. We're not working to a victory. We're working from a victory. Amen? Yeah. And then that connects with Mark 2:9. You know, Jesus said, which is easier, to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? If we would have wrote that scripture, we would have wrote hard and harder. But Jesus said it's easy and easier. So you put this with easy. Come on, that bad knee you got, easy. Those bad feet you got, easy. That bad back you got, easy. Come on, that neck, easy. That plantar, come on, easy. That neuropathy, come on, easy. Any sickness, any disease. Easy. Come on, those migraines, that asthma. Easy. Easy. Ooh, if I by the finger of God cast out Satan. Easy. And we walk out of these doors just saying, so many miracles. And it's just as easy as us just reaching out with our faith and receiving what He's already done for us at Calvary. Amen? Amen. Now, if you know me, I'm always going to tell my story. And don't be making fun of me for telling my story, because every time I tell you my story, I tell you next time you see me, I'm going to tell my story again. So I'll be 90 years old. What will I be doing? Telling a story. Because every time I tell this story, people get healed. Why? Because it makes healing easy. And I'm all about easy. I'm all about simple. I hope I'm always the most unsuper spiritual preacher you'll ever hear. Right? If you can't remember it, if you can't apply it, what's the point? Amen? So anyway, it was years ago, and there was a lady, and she was sitting, you know, like right over here. It wasn't this church. Every church has right over here. And she was sitting right over here. And she had a bad knee. Pastor could probably get up and tell this story as good as I can by now. And she had a bad knee, and I walk over to her and I say, I'm praying and I'm going to pray for her. And she's a real sweet lady, and I'm praying for her. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, watch her. I'm going to show you something. And so I get through praying. I say in Jesus' name, amen. And I'm watching. And then I saw what God wanted me to see, and it changed my life. She said, Brother Phil, what'd you see? Well, she never moved her knee. She just thanked me for praying for her. She was real sweet. Thank me. Thank you, Brother Phil, for praying for me. Enjoyed the service. But she never moved her knee. Well, why didn't she move her knee? She didn't believe she was healed. If she'd have believed she was healed, what would she have done? She'd have gave it a test wiggle. Right? So here's the thing. She didn't want to be healed. She just wanted me to pray for her. I've been in church my whole life. I know the show. I ain't here today to pray for you. I'm not here today to give you sympathy. I'm not here to give you attention. I want you healed. But in order to be healed, you got to reach out with your faith. And every one of you have enough faith to reach out and receive what Jesus did for you at Calvary. And so when somebody say when. When God heals you and you got a bad knee, what are you going to have to do to find out you're healed? You're going to have to move that thing. If you got a bad neck, what would you have to do? You got to move it. If you got a bad back, what would you have to do? You got to bend over and touch that thing. You bend over and check it out. Amen? You say, is it that easy? Yeah, it's that easy. It really is. But you know, here recently I was in a hotel room and I heard the Lord ask me a question, and it was something like this. It was, Phil, do you believe people have ever heard that story and began to move and the pain was still there? They didn't receive their healing. They moved and they didn't receive their healing. And of course, when you hear something like that, you want to be able to say, well, no, but you know, no, but you know better. I know better. I know people have heard that story and began to move their body and that pain was still there. And so the question would be, why? You know, why would that happen? And that thing's like an onion. You know, there's a lot of different things you could say. But what I really felt like the Lord put on my heart that morning, and it stuck with me, is a lot of people, instead of reaching out and receiving, they reach out and receive. Did y'all see that?
Yep.
Instead of reaching out and receiving, they reach out and receive. You say, why? Well, because they've reached out before, they've tried before, they've reached out with their faith before and it didn't happen. And they were disappointed. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Brother Philip, I don't know how many people I've had pray for me. And I don't know how many times I've pressed that scripture. And how many, and I've tried, and I've tried, and I've reached out, and I've reached out, and I've reached out, and I just, and I'm disappointed. And I just don't think I can be disappointed one more time. And are y'all, does this ringing a bell with anybody? Am I being real? We need to get that spirit of disappointment off of us.
Amen.
So later on in this service, instead of reaching out hesitantly, we can reach out aggressively and grab hold of what Jesus provided for us when He took those 39 stripes on His back. Just close your eyes right where you are. Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus. And Father, You gave us those keys to the kingdom. Father, whatever we bind, Father, heaven binds. Whatever we loose, heaven looses. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we bind any, all spirit of disappointment, hopelessness in Jesus' name. We command that yoke to come off of us now. And Father, we loose freedom and liberty. And Father, I thank You today we are going to reach out with our faith. And we're going to grab hold of what Jesus provided for us at Calvary. And Father, we're going to walk out of those doors today saying, declaring, decreeing so many miracles. In Jesus' name. Come on. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hey, turn in your Bible over to Luke, the 5th chapter. We are, halfway through the year. And 2024 is on its way, but at the same time, 2022 isn't so far behind us. You know, we're kind of at that midway point. And like I said, being in around 50 churches last year, everywhere I went, talking to pastors, talking to people, you know, I heard a lot of stories about just, I heard stories about resistance. There was just a lot of resistance last year. Spiritually, physically, financially, resistance. Did anybody experience any resistance last year in some areas? Come on, you feel like you were being, there was hindered, buffeted. There was some resistance in some different areas of your life, you know. And, we saw a lot of that in the churches. And so as we were coming into 2023, this word kept getting heavier and heavier in my heart. And it was this word, overwhelmed. 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 And what I got in my spirit was, you know, there's always been resistance. There always will be resistance. I mean, you know, the devil hates you. Shock, surprise, right? But going into 2023, what I heard was, yeah, there's going to be resistance, but God's going to overwhelm all that resistance. And I've been seeing that this year. I've been seeing it in our life. I've been seeing it in the churches. Just God's overwhelming the resistance of the enemy. Overwhelming us with what? How about His glory? Come on, how about overwhelming us with souls? Come on, with peace, with health, with joy, right? Yes. The grace of God. How many of you want to be overwhelmed with those things? Yes. How about overwhelmed with everything you need to do everything God's called you to do? Yes. Come on, overwhelmed with finances so then you can turn around and overwhelm who God tells you to overwhelm. Because we are blessed to be a blessing, right? Yes. Overwhelmed. And so that word's been big with me this year. I mean, that's what my faith gauge is set on. Is just being overwhelmed. And that's what I'm trying to do in Bulgaria. We're just overwhelming the country. We're just overwhelming those pastors. Because if you freely, you have received freely. You know, if you want to be overwhelmed with God's goodness, then you've got to be a vessel to overwhelm others with that goodness. Amen? And so it was that word overwhelmed, and then the Lord brought me to Luke, the 5th chapter. And so I know you're already there. And I just want to look at a few scriptures. I'm not going to read it all word by word, but look at verse 1. Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Verse 2, there's two ships standing by. The fishermen were washing their nets. Verse 3, it says, Jesus got in one of the ships, which was Simon Peter's. Simon Peter, hey, thrust out a little bit. And he sat down and he taught the people. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon Peter, he said, hey, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. And Simon said, Simon's always got something to say. Man, Peter always got something to say. Master, we've been fishing all night now. Hadn't caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your will, I'll let down the net. And verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their nets broke. I said, their nets broke. Yes. Sounded to me like some nets just got overwhelmed. Yes. Come on, did some nets just get overwhelmed? Yes. God wants to overwhelm your nets this year. Yes. Is that all right with you? Yes. Come on, God wants to overwhelm the nets of Believers Fellowship. Yes. He wants to overwhelm your nets, but God's not done. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Their nets broke. Verse 7, they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they came and helped them, and they came and filled both ships so that the ships began to sink. So here you've got the nets were overwhelmed, the ships were overwhelmed, and bottom line is their imagination was overwhelmed. Because them boys, they never seen anything like that before in their life. They had lived their whole life on that lake. Come on, they were professional fishermen. There ain't nothing they hadn't seen. They knew what it was like to go out and catch some. They knew what it was like to go out and catch none. But they ain't never gone out fishing and the nets broke and the boats began to sink. They never seen anything like that. The nets were overwhelmed. The ships were overwhelmed. Their imagination was overwhelmed. I'm telling you, that's what God wants to do for you. He wants to overwhelm your nets. He wants to overwhelm your ships. He wants to overwhelm Believers Fellowship. He wants to blow your... He loves to blow our mind. He loves to make you say, wow. And then say it backwards. Wow. He wants to overwhelm us. Because listen, that's His nature. He's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Come on, Ephesians 3. Come on, He exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or... Come on, He's a mind-blowing Jesus. He is a overwhelming Jesus. I say that all the time. My Jesus is overwhelming. I don't know about your Jesus. You might have one of those enough Jesuses. You may have one of those almost Jesuses. But I've got an overwhelming Jesus. And He likes to overwhelm my nets, ships, and imagination. But here's the thing. Where did all that take place? He said, cast your net out into the... Oh, it happened in the deep. Therefore, it didn't happen in the shallow. You're not going to experience an overwhelming Jesus in the shallow. You're not going to get your nets overwhelmed in the shallow. You got to launch out into the deep. But therein lies the problem. You got a lot of people, they love the puddles. Most Christians live in the puddles. Most churches flow out of the puddles. We're not called to the puddle. We're called to the deep. Launch out into the deep. That's one of the things I love about this church. Your pastors, they don't like shallow. They don't like puddles. They like the deep. And if you're going to come to Believers Fellowship, you're going to experience some deep. And if that makes you uncomfortable, then go find you a puddle. But I think God's got some people here that likes the deep.
Yeah. Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, then that connects with my favorite scripture, that book in the bag, The Move, from the shallows into the deep. It's Psalms 42:7. Deep calleth unto deep. Deep calleth unto deep. The deep in God's calling out to the deep in you. Are you hearing it? I love that scripture. That's been my favorite scripture since I was a teenager. I love that scripture. But, you know, one day I noticed something at the top of Psalms 42, and it was, who wrote Psalms 42? When you read a book, do you like to know something about the author before you read it? I kind of like to be emotionally connected a little bit. I like to know something. Okay, who is you? I want to know your story before I read your book, you know? And so I had that thought, well, you know, who wrote Psalms 42? And a lot of people would just assume it was David. But David didn't write Psalms 42. It was these guys called the Sons of Korah. Right there at the top, it says Sons of Korah. Well, that got me thinking, well, you know, who were the Sons of Korah? So let me tell you. Let Uncle Philip tell you a Bible story. Okay, you don't have to turn over there, but it's in number 16. And let me just give you the headlines. You had these three families, and they were Levites. It was the family of Korah and these other two families, and they were like the janitors of the temple, the tabernacle. They were the ones that handled everything. They were the ones, when that thing would move, they would move it. They took care of everything. They were in the trenches. They were doing the dirty work. Are y'all with me? They were doing the grunt work. But the whole time they're watching Aaron and his sons, you know, big time it, being priests, and they were tired of the grunt work. They wanted to be the priests. And so they challenged Moses. We don't want to do this anymore. We want to do what they're doing. And we think we should get to do that just as much as they should get to do that. And so they challenged Moses, therefore challenging God. So let's get all this out in the open. Y'all show up tomorrow and y'all can say what y'all want to say. We'll say what we want to say, and then we'll let God say what He wants to say. So they all show up. But then, you know, strength in numbers. These three families brought 250 guys with them of renown to back up their case. And they all had these scepters, you know. So Moses said what he wanted to say. Korah said what he wanted to say. And then it was God's turn. God had something to say. But it was nonverbal communication. He said, "Brother, what happened?" Well, He opened up the earth underneath these three families. The earth opened up under them and swallowed them up. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, the earth closed up over them. Then God wasn't done. Fire came down out of heaven and just turned 250 men into 250 piles of ash. Korah's rebellion was over. Right? See, Brother Philip, horrible story. All right. The reason I wanted to tell you that story wasn't for anything to say about them, but the story for me is the three sons were watching it all. Those three boys, the sons of Korah, were watching it. What do you think that would do to kids? Come on, let's just... You're standing there and you see your family get swallowed by the earth. And you're sitting there watching it. What do you think that would do? Listen, that's trauma. I want to talk to you about trauma a little bit this morning. That's trauma. I know there's some people in here right now, y'all have been through a lot of trauma. And during COVID, there was a lot of trauma. Some of you have been through some trauma in church. Some of you have been through some trauma in life in general. 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Trauma. But have you ever had the earth open up underneath your family and swallow them up? These boys went through some trauma. What do you think that would do to most people? Can you imagine what would happen? Most people would run away from God. They would hate God. Most people would not only hate God, they would hate Moses. They would hate the priesthood. They would hate everything to do with that tabernacle, right? They would be bitter, angry, walls. They would have their wound and they would lick it for the rest of their life, and they would use it to justify anything they did wrong. They would have a victim mentality. And then what trauma does to someone like that is it gets passed down from generation to generation. You pass down that spirit. Now listen, I'm not making light of trauma. Once again, man, there's some people in here, y'all been through some stuff. But we got to get that trauma under the blood. Because what that trauma will do is it'll anchor you in the puddle. It'll anchor you in the shallow. And you'll never see your nets, your ships, or your imagination be overwhelmed. But see, that's not what happened. Those boys were not defined by the trauma. Those boys, they didn't run from God. They ran to God. They didn't run from the tabernacle. They ran to the tabernacle. Generations would go by, and these boys, they became the sons of Korah. They became the janitors, the custodians, the orchestra, the music and writers. They went on to write 11 of the Psalms. 7 generations would go by, and some of them would fight with David and be some of his mighty men. One man would come up out of the sons of Korah and become a prophet to the nations, and I'm talking about Samuel. These boys didn't get bitter, they got better. Come on, they turned their wounds into scars. And here it is, 2,000 years later, and they're not defined by trauma, they're defined by kingdom. And if they can get their trauma under the blood, can we get our trauma under the blood? Yes. They were the ones that wrote Psalms 42. They're the ones that experienced that trauma that wrote deep. They're the ones that wrote that song, "As the deer panteth for the water." Yeah. Here in just a little bit, we're going to sing that song. Can we sing that song today? Amen. Can we just take a few minutes and worship before we get out of here? Amen. They're the ones that wrote, "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee." I want to be a son of Korah. Hey, or some of you can be a daughter of Korah. I want to be someone that overcame my trauma to do everything God called me to do and be who God's called me to be. I want to overcome my trauma so I can get out of that stinking puddle and go launch out into the deep. So if that's going to happen, we got to make some decisions. First decision is we got to get that trauma under the blood. And once again, I'm not making light of any of that. Some of you, y'all been through some stuff. Y'all been through some stuff. How do I do that? How do I get that trauma under the blood? Well, for me, one of the scriptures that it hinges on is John 10:10. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life. Why that scripture is so important is as long as you think God had something to do with your trauma, or He allowed your trauma, or He had a purpose in your trauma, you're never going to be able to get that trauma under the blood like you need to. You know, I was at a funeral one time and somebody got up and said some people had died, and they said, "Well, you know, God picks the most beautiful flowers for His garden." What a load of garbage. Yes. Yeah, but I think, I don't care what you think. What does the Word say? Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And in that same chapter, Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." So if Jesus came for us to have life and life more abundantly, then God's the same way. Right. Yeah, but Brother Philip, I know someone who was really living for the devil, and they were caught in a car accident, and oh my gosh, they should have died. And they were in a hospital for 2 weeks, and they came out of that hospital saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and now they're in ministry today. And I just believe God allowed that to happen so they could go into... What a load of garbage. Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you what happened. God had been trying to deal with that boy his whole life. Yeah. 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 But he finally got quiet enough, still enough, for God to talk to him and for him to hear what God had already been saying. And when you get a revelation of John 10:10, this revelation comes just brushing into your life, and it's this: what Satan means for evil, God turns it for the good. Now that's what God does. What Satan means for evil, what Satan means to destroy you, God will turn it. He doesn't do it. He doesn't allow it. He doesn't permit it. He doesn't do it. No more than you would do that to your children. But He can turn it for your good and for the glory of God. Ooh, I like that. So anytime I'm going through something, I start smiling because I know I'm fixing to see God turn it. I like to say it this way: God loves turning dirty water into wine. Amen? He's a turner. Hey, He'll turn your shallow into deep. He'll turn a victim into a victor. He'll turn ordinary into extraordinary. He'll turn a parrot into an eagle. He'll turn smoke into fire. He'll turn a captive into a deliverer. He'll turn the sea into a dry road. He'll turn a barren womb into a nation. Y'all want me to go on? Come on, all day. I got the list memorized. God likes to turn things around. And when you get a revelation of that, you'll see your wound get turned into a scar. And listen, I love my scars. I got some scars. I love my scars. What was the first thing Jesus showed the disciples when He... I love my scars. They're a testimony. Yeah. And the reason I love my scars so much is everybody do what I'm doing. Just do like this right here. What am I doing? Well, you're rubbing your scar. It doesn't hurt, does it? Because it's not a wound. It's a... And you can show them to people and you can go, see, this is what I went through. But what Satan meant for evil, God turned it for the good. And I don't have a wound anymore. I have a scar. And I can talk about it with no emotions because it doesn't hurt anymore. It's a testimony of God's grace and God's favor. We got to get this trauma under the... We got to get it under the blood. Got to get it under the blood. And usually what comes with that trauma, and this is what keeps us in the shallow, is that big why you have. With every trauma, you know, there's a why. Why did that happen? God, I want to know why that happened. And some of those whys are hard. You know, sometimes we see people that shouldn't have died, die, and we see people that should have died, live. Right? You know. Some heathen gets in a horrible car accident and comes out without a scratch. And then this wonderful believer, you know, gets in a fender bender and dies. And we want to know what? Why? And that just makes the trauma even more. There's some of you in here and you got a wine that's eating your lunch. You've got a wine that's orbiting your life like the moon orbits the earth. And with that trauma, we need to get that wine under the blood. This is kind of how I see it. It's like one day, what's your name, brother?
Alex.
So one day, Alex, you're going to be sitting, man. You might be listening to the Apostle Paul teach on who you are in Christ in heaven. It's going to be awesome. And an angel is going to walk up to you and go, hey, Alex, hey, the Father wants to see you. He knows there's a question you've been wanting to ask Him. And that why. And He said, bring your why with you and He's going to answer it. And Alex is going to be like, yes. Been wanting to ask Him that since I got up here. Now Alex is going to walk into the throne room like John Wayne, just like me. It's about time. I want to know why. Come on, somebody say why.
Why
that happened. And so the Lord is going to say, well, all right, Alex, go ahead. Let me have it. And you're going to have that thing served up on a silver platter. You're going to be like, bam, why? And this is how it'll go down. The Father will say, I know the exact words, but I think you'll get my point. Bada bing, bada boom. Bada bing, bada boom. Bada bing, bada boom. And then, you know, bada bing, bada bang, and bada boom, and bada bing, and bada boom. And Alex is going to be like, okay. And in the moment, Alex, you're going to be a little embarrassed. Because you've had all this emotional energy wrapped up into your why, and in that moment you're going to realize you shouldn't have. Right? Yeah. And so you're going to start kind of, you know, crawfishing out of there. And the Lord go, whoa, wait a minute, Alex, are we good? And you're going to be, we're good. Now listen, in the moment, it's going to be easy to say, oh, okay, when you know everything, right? Mm-hmm. Can you say, oh, okay, now? It'll require no faith to say, oh, okay, in that moment. Can you say, oh, okay, now? Yeah. Are we going to trust Him or not?
Amen.
That's how you get that trauma under the blood. Number two, are we going to launch out into the deep? Got a choice to make. Do you want 2024 to be your greatest year yet? We got to launch out into the deep. Do you want Jesus to be overwhelming spiritually, physically, financially in your life? We got to launch out into the deep. That may mean, come on, launching out into the Word, launching more into worship, launching more. Come on, what? Launching more into your kingdom assignment. The Holy Spirit has those answers. We've got to launch out into the deep, but ultimately, the deep is wherever God tells you to go. If the Lord tells you to go that way, where's the deep? If the Lord tells you to go that way, where's the deep? If the Lord says, launch out into the deep, where's the deep? After He was resurrected, He said, cast your net on the right side. Where was the deep? But if He'd have told them to cast their net on the left side, where would the deep have been? We got to go out into the deep. And then number three, you can't have my word. It's got to be your word. In other words, that word overwhelm, you got to reach out with your faith. You can't Godzilla it. Got a bunch of Godzilla arms in the church. No. We got to reach out. You got to reach out with your faith and grab hold of that word overwhelm. Yeah. It's got to become part of your DNA. It's like a kid. Kid won't even be playing with something. Some other kid will walk in, grab one of his toys. What does that kid do? He runs over there and grabs it and says what? Mine! You got to let a mind come out of your heart today. Brother Phillips got something and it's mine. I'm going to serve a Jesus that's over. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Come play a little bit. Yeah. Thank you, sweetie. Years ago, I heard a story about a kid. His family was killed in a car accident. Trauma. And his uncle came in, and his uncle was a chef. And the kid wouldn't talk. Walls, hard heart, anger, just everything that comes with that kind of trauma. And the uncle couldn't get through to him. He said, hey, come with me into the kitchen. And the guy walked into a kitchen. The kid sat down at the bar and he grabbed three pots and he put on three fires and he filled all three pots with water and he put them on, you know, fire and started bringing these three same pots, exact same water, exact same fire, exact same boil. Then he went into the refrigerator and he grabbed some potatoes and he grabbed some eggs and he grabbed some coffee. Then he took the eggs and he put them in the pot. One pot, put the eggs, put them in another pot, and he put the coffee in another pot. And the kid's thinking he's stupid. You know, this is crazy. And after a while, he takes the potatoes, the eggs, and the coffee beans out. And he told the kid, he said, you know, you've been through something that's horrible. And he said, people go through horrible things every day. He said, but you've got a choice to make. He said, look at these potatoes. He said, the potatoes go in hard. He said, but that trauma turns them into mush. That happens to a lot of people. They go in hard and they just get turned into mush. Some people are like those eggs. They go in soft, tender-hearted. But that trauma makes them hard. He says, then there's people that are coffee beans. And they come out of the trauma unchanged. But in the process, they change the water. They turn the water into something fragrant, delicious. What do you want to be? Some mushy potatoes? Some hard eggs? Or is Believer's Fellowship going to be some coffee beans in the days ahead? I think if there's any church, man, that's got an incredible opportunity to be sons and daughters of Korah, man, it's believers. Amen? Come on, every head bowed, every eye closed. We got some kingdom business to take care of this morning. We got some marching orders for the rest of the year. I believe the Holy Ghost is wanting to position us as a people and as a church for 2024 being our greatest year yet, regardless of anything going on in the world. But it's not going to happen in the shallow. We got to launch out into the deep. If you're here this morning, you know, your first step into the deep, you can't even get into the deep. There's no possibility of going deep if Jesus is just your Savior. He's got to be more than just your Savior. And if He's your Savior, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you're going to bust heaven wide open one day. But you're not going deep if He's just your Savior. He's got to be Lord of your life. Amen. The journey to the deep begins with Lordship. Lordship means boss. It means master. It means Jesus, you lead, I follow. It means if you tell me to go that way, I will go that way. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. If you're here this morning and you say, Brother Philip, I need to make Jesus Lord. Jesus needs to hear me say, He is Lord of my life. I want to be who He's called me to be. I want to go where He tells me to go. I want more than fire insurance. I want more than Him being just my Savior. I don't want Him to ride. I want Him to drive. I want Jesus to be Lord. No one's looking around. If that's you all over the building, just slip your hand up right now. Go ahead. I see that hand. Anyone else? Come on. It'll never be easier to lift your hand than it is right here. I'm not going to embarrass you. I see that hand right there. If you want to make Jesus Lord of your life. Yeah, five more seconds. Five more seconds. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You put your hands down. Please don't be looking around. I want this to be a safe environment. Not looking to embarrass anyone. If you're here today and you say, Brother Philip, I've got some trauma. I've got a why, and I need to get that under the blood. I've got some trauma that I need to get under the blood of Jesus. I've got a wound that I need to be healed and be turned into a scar. I'm ready for God to turn what Satan meant for evil into something for His glory. If you've got some trauma that you're dealing with and you want God to heal that today, just lift your hands all over the place. Yeah, hands going up everywhere. Hands going up everywhere. Yeah, appreciate you. Hands going up everywhere. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You can put your hands down. Everybody look up here. How many of you want to reach out with your faith and grab hold of that word overwhelmed today? Mine. Can I talk to this church corporately? If this is your church and you want to see believers, come on, reach out. In every service, everything y'all do is with an overwhelming Jesus. Come on, lift your hands in this place. Amen. Exceedingly abundantly, above all you could ask or think. Come on, believers, I'm talking to you. Yes. Broken nets, sinking ships, minds blown these next 5 months, minds blown in 2024. Yes. Yeah, but what about politics? Minds blown. What about the economy? Minds blown. Come on, what about minds blown? What about Europe? Minds blown. Because we're launching out into the... This is what I want to do. This is what I just see prophetically. Pastor, could you and Miss Terry come stand right here? If you lifted your hands for anything, this is more than that. This is a family moment. If you lifted your hands, I want everybody to gather down here. Come gather around your pastors. Yeah, you're good. Right there. Come on. Don't get in a line. This isn't about somebody laying hands on you. This is about us coming together as a family. The next 5 months for this church is going to be over 2024. I believe with all my heart there's going to be an expectancy that's going to begin to just multiply in this house. As week by week goes by month goes by. By the time y'all get to Christmas, y'all are going to be on all 8 cylinders, pedal to the metal. Never been more excited about an upcoming year. And I want to remind all of y'all, Pastor and I talk about this often, when the day y'all move into that building, it is not a finish line. Amen. It is a starting gun. Hallelujah. Pow! We're working to get it. No, the work begins on that day. And by the time y'all get there, it's going to be amazing. I want you to get that song queued up. We'll play it here in just a moment. But everybody close your eyes in this place and pray this prayer with me. Everybody say, Father, I love you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for me.
all my sins, all my regrets, all my guilt, all the trauma, all my whys washed away in the blood of Jesus. Father, I thank you that your blood that you shed at Calvary is washing away my wounds, healing my wounds, turning them into scars as a testimony for you. Right now, in this moment, I boldly declare, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. You lead, I follow. Now, this has got to come out of your spirit. I'm going deep. Come on, I'm going deep. Come on, it's got to come out of your heart. It's got to come out of your spirit. I'm going deep. PBM's going deep. I'm going deep. I'm going deep. Come on, just meditate on that for a minute. My dad used to say what you mean what you say. I'm going deep. Believers Fellowship's going deep. Yeah, but we are deep. There's always deeper. We're going deeper. Going deeper. Come on, begin to declare it. Begin to prophesy it. Begin to declare it. We're going deeper. Other churches can stay in the puddle. We're going deeper. Other churches can be the shallow ones. We're going deeper. We're going deeper. We're not judging anybody, but we're going deeper. We're going deeper. We're going deeper where the fish are. We're going deeper where the fish are. We're going deeper where our nets will be filled and overwhelmed. Our ships will be filled and overwhelmed. Our imagination will be filled and overwhelmed. We're going deeper. You just begin to play that song. It's going to mean more to you. We're just going to play a few minutes of it. The sons of Korah wrote this. Thousands of years ago, they overcame their trauma and went deep. Man, I want you to get lost in this moment because I believe the worship's going to go up and the glory's going to come down. It's already here. Just lift your heart, lift your hands, lift your voice. Can we turn that up some? I want to feel it. Is He worthy of our worship? Is Jesus worthy? Come on, let's go deep with our worship for a few minutes. Come on, men, let's lead the way. Come on, men, let's lead the way. Come on, men, let's lead our families and church into the deep. Panted for, come on, the water so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Ooh, presence of God is in this place. Are my strength, my shield, to you alone may my spirit. Are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Come on, tell Jesus how much you love Him. Come on, tell the Father how much you love Him. Come on, tell Him you're going deep to find Him. You're going deep to find a greater relationship with Jesus, with the Father, with the Holy Ghost.
Come on, tell him you love him. Tell him you cherish him. Tell him you adore him. Come on, let's let an anointed, holy, holy, holy come out of our hearts this morning. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Woo!
I love you more than any other, so much more than anything.
Oh, God is so good. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Folks, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is here. Woo! The kingdom is here. We're worshiping with angels. We're worshiping under an open heaven. We're worshiping on holy ground. We're in a kingdom kairos moment. Ooh. Long arm. Come on, one more time. My shield, to you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Hallelujah. Just begin to phase that out and you can begin to play. Thank you, Father. Just be real still in this place. Woo! Thank you, Father. Just be real still. Kingdom's here. Kingdom is here. God's glory is here. Just be still. The kingdom is here. His glory is here. His love and mercy is here. There's an impartation that's taken place. There's a new season being birthed today in your life and at Believers Fellowship. Kingdom is here. And the finger of God is moving. Finger of God is moving. Just be real still. The finger of God is moving. Finger of God is moving. And I just see that finger, His finger, just touching every one of us on the head. Finger of God is moving in this place. It's just easy. 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 Father, thank you for the anointing that's broken every yoke of bondage, destroyed every curse, lifted the burden. Father, I thank you the anointing has just stripped us of anything that would have kept us from reaching out and receiving our healing. The wounds have been turned into scars. The trauma has been washed away in the blood of Jesus. Disappointment has been washed away. Fear washed away. Bitterness washed away. Father, I thank you that demonic power has been bound, rebuked, and run off in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Sickness and disease and pain and soreness and stiffness is gone by the stripes of Jesus. Father, I thank you. We've been forgiven of all of our sins and it's all washed away. And the sickness and disease is all washed away. And the pain, soreness, stiffness is all washed away. Father, you're not doing anything. Father, it's already done. Father, we're standing here in this moment and we're forgiven and we're healed. And Father, we're trying to figure out which one was easy and which one was easier. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you. The only thing left for us to do, be real still, the only thing left for us to do is do what that woman with the knee didn't do. I'm going to count to three and I'm going to declare the name of Jesus in this place. And when I do, without any disappointment, without any fear, without any hopelessness, regardless of anything, I want you to reach all the way out with your faith. And I want you to begin to do whatever you got to do to find out just how healed you are. Because it's done.
You're fixing to begin to move, and you're going to move your neck. You're going to move everything, and you're going to be utterly astounded that all the pain is gone, all the soreness is gone, the inflammation is gone, the stiffness will be gone. Healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. The only thing you got to do is do what that woman didn't do. God's done His part, but see, now you got to do your part. You got to reach out with your faith and receive it, and you do that by... But you're going to reach all the way out without any hesitation. Because you're not working to a victory, you're working from a victory. Amen. One, are y'all ready? Two, give Jesus all the glory. In Jesus' name, move in this place. Bend over and touch your toes and move your shoulders around and lift your hands up over your head if you had issues with your shoulders and your elbows. And come on, let me see some wiggly hands if you had arthritis. And check your knees out in this place. Check your ankles out in this place. Come on, somebody keep moving and lifting up the name of Jesus. Somebody keep moving and lift up the name of Jesus. Move your jaw around and breathe in through your nose and out your mouth. Check your lungs and see if there's a greater capacity. Woo, come on, somebody, the name of Jesus. Somebody got a hallelujah in them? Does somebody have a holy, holy, holy in you? Can you move a little bit more? Oh, can you check that left ankle out? Woo. Can you take your hand and feel where that lump or knot was? Ooh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. If the pain, the soreness, the stiffness, if there is a difference in your body, if it's gone, what you couldn't do now, you can. Lift your hands in this place if there's a difference in your body. Everybody look around. There, come on. Give Jesus a hand clap. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say it. So many miracles.
So many miracles.
Ooh, but listen, throughout the day, keep praising God and keep moving. Keep praising God and keep moving. Keep praising God that it's done and keep wiggling. Ooh, keep your switch of faith turned on. If it all happened immediately, praise God. But if you keep your switch of faith turned on and you keep praising God, another hour, another 2 hours, you're at 100%. I was up early this morning praying, and I felt like this was first for Laura and I, but then I felt like I wanted to release this to you. This is one of those whosoever wills. Heard the Spirit of the Lord say, these next 5 months, doors of supernatural favor. Doors of supernatural favor. That'll change everything. Doors of supernatural favor. That'll change everything. But I heard the Lord say, between now and Christmas, begin to see, begin to declare, begin to prepare. Begin to see, begin to declare, begin to prepare. And I drew out a little heart. Begin to prepare your heart that 2024 is going to be your greatest kingdom building year yet.
Amen.
Somebody's going to reach out and receive that. Begin to see, begin to declare, begin to prepare that 2024 is going to be your greatest kingdom building year yet. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, in the days ahead, in the months ahead, lean towards love and mercy and grace. No matter what happens, lean towards love, mercy, and grace. No matter what you see on TV, lean towards love, mercy, and grace. No matter what anybody does around you, lean towards love, mercy, and grace, and things you've been struggling with in the emotional realm. Anxiety, stress, insomnia. These type of issues will begin to fade away. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, in the days ahead, take your tithing, your sowing, and your giving very seriously. Heard the Spirit of the Lord say, if you'll take your tithing, your sowing, your giving seriously, it will position you in 2024 to live a blessed, to be a blessing life.
Hallelujah.
If you feel like one of those words or two of those words or all three were for you, just lift your hands in this place. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Father, thank you for speaking to us, giving us marching orders, giving us instruction, showing us things to come, guiding us into all truth, keeping us ahead of the curve, showing us what's around the corner, what's on the other side of the door. Holy Spirit, you are the deep. Stretch your hands out towards Pastor Scott, Pastor Terry. Just lay hands on the person in front of you. I want this overwhelming Jesus to manifest in their life and in their preaching and in every decision they make more than ever before. Father, thank you. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Come on, begin to intercede. That's that tongues for intercession. Sometimes we don't know what to pray in English, so we pray in the Spirit. And what you're doing is you're allowing the Holy Ghost to pray through you for them and for believers' fellowship. Father, I thank you. Their best days are ahead. Father, I thank you. They are blessed to be a blessing. Father, I thank you that every word, every declaration, every decree, the wisdom of God that comes out of their mouth will be saturated with an overwhelming El Shaddai, Jesus. That, Father, nothing will come out of their mouth that is enough or almost or maybe. That, Jesus, in the days ahead, you're going to reveal yourself to them in even a greater way. That you're the God of full nets, full ships, blown minds, exceedingly abundantly above they, we, us could ever think. Let's begin to pray for their time in Turkey. Kodo lava basidi kisianda lava basanda. Shosande leve basanda. Father, divine relationships, divine connections, supernatural encounters, a richer anointing, revelation knowledge. Father, he's going to grow, go. And Father, they're going to grow. And they're going to come back, and because they grow, we're going to grow. Koda leve basinde kisianda lava basanda. Bodo lava basha sande leve bese de leve bosonda. Sho sondo leve bese de leve basanda lava basanda. Bode leve bese de kesianda lava basanda. Bondo lava basanda lava basanda. Sho sede kese yata. Sede kesen de leve bosonda. Bodo lava basse de leve boshon do sandala sede ke sende leve boso bondo lava basse de ke de yatala bondo sede leve boso dodresede. Pastor, I just see you. I see you writing. And I see this download. The only thing way I can see it, I can see like this download in your spirit of 100 words, 500 words, 1,000 words. And the Holy Spirit showing you, revealing to you how to take all those words and turn them into a declaration of just a few sentences. Then you getting up and releasing those words. Releasing those words. Releasing those words. I sitting there praying, E.W. Kenyon came to my heart. How he could say more in one sentence than a lot of people would say in a book. Those kinds of moments. That kind of gifting. Shasa. Santa Canta da.
Oh, dosanda kayatala. Father, I just thank you. Shodasanda lava basanda. Said the best days are ahead. Blessed to be a blessing. Kondosande yanta lava basanda. Bondo se de ke de yatala vabasanda. Supernatural wisdom for structure, for stewardship, for the wisdom to handle all the fish so the nets don't break, the ships don't sink, but the minds will be blown. You're the Lord saying you'll know if a part of the net is getting weak by the Holy Ghost. And you'll step in before it happens. You'll know when the ship is getting too full so you can call for another ship. Thank you, Lord. Best days are ahead. Blessed to be a blessing. Jesus, you are there over Overwhelming Savior, Lord Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. We got any coffee beans in the house? Everybody do this right here. Does it hurt?
No.
You don't have wounds anymore. You got a scar. I love my scars. I got some, sweetie. You got some scars?
Yes.
You got some scars. Show them to people. And say, look what Jesus did for me. I can touch and it don't hurt no more. Because Jesus healed me. And if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. Amen. Y'all work your way back to your seat. Hallelujah. One more thing and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. When God gives me something like that, I always ask Him for a cherry on top. I like cherry. Did anybody like the cherry on top? In the marriage, who gets the cherry? Raise your hand if you get the cherry. You ever give your wife the cherry?
No.
Trust me, what she gets is far more than what I get. They eventually got all those fish to the boat, to the shore, right? It's the biggest pile of fish those boys had ever seen in their life. It's a mountain of fish, right? They've never seen that many fish before. They're so excited. They're rich. They were going to start seminars, $50 an hour to learn how to... They were taking pictures, right? All right, everybody gather around. Isn't that what we would do? Everybody gather around. All right, take a picture. Here's my phone. Get a picture of me. Facebook, everywhere. But they hadn't got the fish on the shore and Jesus said, follow me. Can you imagine what that was like? Are we not going to get to eat some? I mean, what they were just overwhelmed by, they were walking away from. This is the greatest moment in their life. They'd never seen that many fish before. This was the apex of fishing and they're walking away from it. And the reason I wanted to bring that to your attention is whatever the Lord overwhelms you with in the days ahead, if He asks you to walk away from it for Him, will you? I'm not saying He will, but are you willing? Do you want His presence more or do you want His presence more? What's more important to you, Him or the fish? It's got to be Him. I'm not saying He'll tell you to walk away from what He just overwhelmed you with, but if He does, will you forsake it and walk away? That's got to be in our heart. Amen. Man, I love y'all and appreciate you. Love your pastors. Love the vision. This is a Holy Ghost church. And that lets me know beyond a shadow of a doubt that whatever God has planned in the days ahead, this church is going to be right in the middle of it. You're at the right place at the right time. There's only one Holy Ghost and y'all are flowing. But Just remember, you move into that building. Is it a finish line or is it a starting gun? Love you, Pastor. Come on.
Praise the Lord. Can you give the Lord a big hand clap for the ministry of Philip? Appreciate you so much. Thank you for coming today, Philip. Let's all stand together. You know, one of the most formal and well-prepared and thought-out ceremonies in life is a wedding day. And for some reason, we tend to think that, well, it's over. You know, you go to your honeymoon, you get on with life, and people stop investing in their marriage, which is the most priceless thing that we have in this life, apart from the Holy Ghost, amen, and from the Bible itself, the written Word of God. It's the most priceless treasure we have in this life if you're a married person. And, you know, for $18 to invest in your marriage, I'm sure, and I've already gotten some great nuggets. I've read up to step 30 in here. I'm not too far along, but I'm making my way through it, through the path. And it's a great book. It'll bless you. So don't leave any books on the table. Take one and let it bless your marriage. Let it bless your relationship. And invest in your home. Amen. Invest in your marriage. And we're constantly, Christians are always, always in learning mode. Amen. We never have it all. Listen, the day that you say, okay, I've already learned that, why are you still here? Amen. Listen, if God's got you on the earth here, if you're still breathing, then you ought to be learning. Amen. You ought to be growing and keep an humble spirit. One of the favorite people that I love so well, she came through our church a couple years back, and she was such an inspiration to me because you could tell her spirit was just like, I'm always learning. I'm always growing. I'm always reaching for something new, right? That's life. Amen. So check out the book table there on your way out. Be blessed and bless Philip's ministry. If you have the leading of the Holy Spirit to help sponsor some of these pastors from Bulgaria, just let Dolly know and how many you want to sponsor for $250. Are you kidding me? Wow, you couldn't hardly stay in a hotel for that much in a luxury area, you know, nowadays for one night. But these pastors, if you give $250, you can sponsor. Is it a couple? That's per couple? Wow, you can sponsor two people, husband and wife, to go and be blessed and be refreshed in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's a kingdom investment that's worthy of your energy. So, Father, we thank you today for all that you've done in us. We thank you that the word planted in our heart will grow, it will multiply, and it will bear fruit 100-fold in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Father. Help us steward what we've heard today. And Holy Spirit, we just thank you for sealing it and with signs and wonders following this word in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.